Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast. Go over the hottest news, hottest takes, hottest tweets, hottest hosts, co-hosts. I am one of them. Cold Haver, Jared.
I am Christmas birthday Haver, Joe.
And it's your boy Hoops Haver, Will.
There he goes there again.
He is again.
You think I'm not going to do it every time, but I do because it's so funny that I have to.
What'll it be next time?
It's a great bit.
We want to start off with something we tried last week. We enjoyed bringing some enlightenment to our audience. And so we're going to do our enlightenment take of this week. We turn to a player on probably the most enlightened team in the league, the Boston Celtics.
Always we turn to
our friend Terry Rozier. Tweet from all the way back in 2011 in the May. He must have been pretty bored just thinking about what could have been, because he told everyone that Osama should have hooped instead of trying to kill people because he tall as hell. What a beautiful way to look at the world.
So, do you think he'd be a good hooper? You think he could ball?
I feel like it's one of those things where I feel like if he could have hooped, he would have done it instead of trying to kill all those people. Mm-hmm. Because I know, like, hoopers always want to be rappers always want to be ballers, but like, I feel like all terrorists want to be ballers, but I don't feel like that many ballers really want to be terrorists.
No,
that's more of a one-way street, I think. So I think if he could have hooped, he would have done it. But
yeah,
Terry Rozier knows a lot more about basketball than I do.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I think there's definitely many arguments to be had, points to be made about whether he'd be a good baller, but these are not points I want to be the one to make. So
so are we not going to jump into the which NBA player is most like Osama bin Laden segment, or
yeah, we'll move on. Let's talk about this Trevor Ariza trade fiasco.
Ugh.
The trade that could have been, and the trade that still happened, but not as cool as it's a confusing scenario involving two people with the same last name. I believe I have them saved. I have just like screenshots of Woj's timeline around this time. Maybe you can just recite some of these.
My favorite one was the deal is dead.
Yeah.
Well, you check for it. I think one of my favorite takes on it, not hot at all, I think a very good take, was I think it was Cosmos at Cosmos said, making fun of the Grizzlies. Everyone deserved to be made fun of, but he was making fun of the Grizzlies here. He's like, if your big plan was to try to trade for Kelly Oubre, like you're trying to get Oubre, and then the deal breaker on that is whether you're giving up Marshawn or Dylan Brooks, then you're sunk to begin with. You're beyond help.
So, yeah, so
that's a fair point.
I have some of these tweets up when it was a developing story from Woj. So we'll just take it from the beginning. See, Woj tweets, the Washington Wizards are in advanced talks on a deal to acquire Phoenix forward Trevor Ariza. Team's trying to finalize multi-team trade tonight. Then a later tweet, part of a three-team deal nearing completion, Ariza to Wizards, Kelly Oubre to the Grizzlies, Austin Rivers, and two Grizzlies role players to the Suns. We'll move up a bit. Washington, Phoenix, and Memphis have agreed in principle on a deal that will also include Wayne Selden and Dylan Brooks headed to Suns, and a 2020 Grizzlies second-round pick, and a conditional 2019 second-rounder to Washington, league sources tell ESPN. Then we have a clarification. Marshawn Brooks on his way to the Suns, not Dylan. And then, not even a minute after the tweet, another clarification. Again, Marshawn Brooks, not Dylan. Meanwhile, other sources were saying that it was Dylan, or it was Marshawn. Everyone's saying different things. Sources with Zach Lowe, NBA. Deal in jeopardy over which Brooks, Marshawn or Dylan, the Suns believed it was getting in the trade. Memphis will not put Dylan Brooks in the trade. Next tweet. Deal suddenly in peril. Memphis and Phoenix didn't communicate directly on trade, using Washington as a conduit in coordinating the three-team deal. Grizzlies believed they were trading Marshawn, but somehow Suns believed it was Dylan. Next tweet. The deal is dead.
Long live the deal.
It was a great time watching this develop live.
One of my favorite things about it was one where like all the jokes about it came true as it unfolded.
Yeah.
Like the second that people started like saying like, oh, it's Marshawn, not Dylan. Like, I mean, even me, I was just like in the group DM just saying like, I bet the Suns don't even know who they traded for. Ha ha. And then 15 minutes later, Suns do not realize who they traded for. And it's like, oh my goodness, man.
Are the Wizards at fault here?
Absolutely. 100%. First of all, everyone's at fault for being in this dumb trade. Anytime that you can have a trade centered around like that doesn't involve a single decent player outside of Trevor Ariza, you should all be blamed.
Yeah, that's fair.
But there's nothing like any Wizards fan looking at that, all of that unfold, knew deep in their heart that it was Ernie Grunfeld's fault. And then sure enough, it was the Suns and Grizzlies haven't even spoken with each other. And he apparently did not realize there were two Brooks on Memphis's team.
What if he just didn't care?
Also great. Like, at the end of the day, this Wizards team represents me perfectly, and this trade is just another example of why. He's just over here like, fuck it, man. I don't know who you're trading for. Just accept the deal, goodness.
They want A. Brooks. What's the difference?
It really, though, what is it? Come on. Dylan Brooks and Marshawn Brooks. Neither is good enough for all of this.
And give them Scott. I don't care.
Well, hey, I resent that you said Ariza was the only good player in this deal, because Jeff Van Gundy circa 2011 said he would rather have Austin Rivers than Damian Lillard. So, so
friend of the show, Jeff Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy, come on the podcast and defend your innumerable takes over the years.
Defend everything that you've said.
It'll be a 6-hour special.
This is a classic trade for the Wizards to be involved in, because it ends with like the Suns and the Wizards both punishing their fans, which is something any Wizards fan would expect from a trade. But like Suns fans have spent all season going like, we have to have a point guard. We have to have a point guard. You got to be kidding me. This team doesn't have a point guard. And the Suns are just like, oh, you want a point guard so bad? Here's Austin Rivers. How do you like that?
And is he getting?
No, is go he back getting, to no point guard.
Is he getting bought out?
You're right. He's already gone, I think.
So, and then he's signing with the Grizzlies.
Well, didn't that fall apart too? I thought they were rumored to sign.
That was the last I saw.
The whole thing's Memphis is just like, they keep wanting these players, and at the last second they realize that these are players from the Wizards and the Suns, and they're like, wait, no. No good can come of this. No good can come of this. I would like to take myself to task a bit here for some terrible takes, some very hot ones from just this past summer, when everyone was releasing top 25 under 25 lists. And I got mad. First of all, I was being mad about the honorable mention section of a top 25 under 25 list. If you're mad about that, you should jump off of a roof to begin with. But I was really mad at that, like, Terry Rozier was in the honorable mentions and Kelly Oubre wasn't, and spent a couple of hours on Twitter complaining about it. And this is, I think, the perfect time for me to mention how unbelievably wrong I was. Not that Rozier's any good, but at least he has good tweets. Kelly Oubre has just been awful at basketball this season, and even worse to like watch play. He shoots every time he touches the ball, and he can't shoot for crap. So it was very interesting seeing all of the people around the league who haven't watched him at all, who are being like, ooh, Memphis, and then Phoenix later getting a steal on this young wing. Like, all right, man.
So a fun thing about your argument here that both players aren't good is that I would argue that they're both not bad in playoffs, and now we only get to see one in playoffs. So it can't be proven wrong that they both
actually
are good.
We won't be seeing either in the playoffs, because the Celtics have fallen victim to my anyone who loses to the Suns is eliminated from the playoffs clause.
Okay.
Your Bucks are out then too, Will. Sorry.
It should mention to the listeners that I am now officially a Bucks fan, as evidenced by my brand new OJ Mayo Bucks jersey. So go Milwaukee. We'll get him next year.
He's on the bandwagon.
We won't lose to the Suns next year. I can't wait.
It's nothing you're not used to right now. You get time to adjust.
We'll have Anthony Davis by the end of the year, so I'm excited for it.
Speaking of the Bucks. After the Bucks played the Pelicans last night, we're recording this on Thursday this week, and after the game, Giannis saw Anthony Davis in the hallway and said, come to the Bucks, man, come to the Bucks, and they both laughed, knowingly, allegedly. What are your thoughts on this? On our previous thoughts, AD to the Bucks. It's really happening, I think.
I always think it's like super interesting when two players talk to each other and interact outside of the game.
Yeah, because they you know, nobody does that anymore.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I thought it was really telling that when Giannis said that to Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis responded by saying, "Man, it was either going to be here or the Garden, baby." And then all the reporters nearby. So I should also mention that speaking of recent games, since acquiring Trevor Ariza, the Wizards have given up 45 points in a single quarter and a loss to the Hawks, and then given up the NBA record for three-pointers made in a loss to the Rockets.
Crazy what great perimeter defense gets you.
The guy who hit the record-breaking three-pointer for the Rockets was Michael Carter-Williams. So, real needle mover of a trade.
Oh my gosh. What
and on that, sorry, let's get back off of them and never talk about the Wizards on this podcast again. Back to the Bucks and soon-to-be Buck Anthony Davis.
I found a couple Anthony Davis trade takes that I thought might be interesting to enlighten the group with.
Let's do
one
it.
Of them was to this. There's always one of him going to the Lakers, which is classic. This one was interesting to me. It was for Anthony Davis, straight up. It was Rajon Rondo, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and a 2020 first round pick.
That's a lot of guards.
The classic 5-for-1 trade.
I mean, that sounds to me like the Shaq to the Heat trade.
Right.
Like, in a lot of ways. I don't know. Kind of crazy. Then there's another one to the Celtics. Anthony Davis and Solomon Hill for Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and 2 first-round picks.
Well, you might as well just call it the Solomon Hill trade.
Definitely the Solomon Hill trade.
Some interesting trade takes happening via basketball Instagram.
Every Celtics
fan with trade takes.
Every Celtics fan would turn down that trade. Yeah, that is way too many assets.
I don't know. I mean, you get that's Solomon like Hill though.
4 assets at least. It's the Kings' first round pick, the Celtics' first round pick, and Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier, and Gordon Hayward. Yeah, that's
no.
I would trade.
At most 5 assets.
I would trade if I was a Celtics fan. I would trade Gordon Hayward's League of Legends commercial and Terry Rozier's Osama bin Laden tweet for Anthony Davis, and that is the highest I'll go.
That's still like a hard. That's a hard sell.
That's a good tweet.
But you're getting rid of the facsimile of a bad contract by getting rid of that League of Legends commercial.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a yeah. That's
maybe they like bet. It. Though. Maybe they like it.
That's probably why team is doing so bad.
It's their equivalent of that Pacers picture.
Boy,
the photo shoot.
Oh, so good. How about LeBron straight up asking for his team to trade for Anthony Davis this past week?
Did he really straight up ask?
It was like in a presser or something, and someone asked like, "What would it be like for if the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis?" And he was just like, "Oh, it'd be amazing. He's such a good player." And I'm like, okay, the guy who asked that question was named like Bralon James and was wearing fake glasses or something.
LeBron James.
Oh, I think I'm hearing from the back someone's asking me, what if my team is? I think it'd be great.
It's like Anthony Davis with a mustache on. Yeah. Like, what do you think about? Yeah.
Well, while we're on LeBron, let's talk about his reaction to being blocked by Jarrett Allen.
He's not mad, and he's definitely laughing.
He's very not mad.
He's definitely not punting a basketball into the stands.
Here's a
by no means is LeBron red and nude right now.
Here's a quote from after the game from LeBron on the Jarrett Allen block, which, I mean, like, it's very rare for LeBron to get blocked. But he says, "He's in his 20s. I'm in my 30s. It takes me a little longer to get warmed up, but that's fine. When you're a shot blocker, I'm sure you can get a block. It happens. It's probably all over social media, so that's cool."
Which sentence is y'all's favorite sentence? Because I'm having a lot of trouble picking out my favorite one.
So mine is, yeah. It's probably all over social media, so that's cool. Like, that's like a quote from like local nerd gets like bullied at school.
I'm pretty sure mine is, when you're a shot blocker, I'm sure you can get a block. Just because I'm imagining, like, ooh, congrats, you got a block. You're 6'10". Come on. You should be getting blocks.
It's probably all over social media, so that's cool, is what I say when I get no-scoped on Call of Duty.
I like the, it takes me longer to warm up, as if that's ever been an excuse for LeBron. Like, I'm old, what do you want from me?
I'm very partial to the, I'm in my 30s, he's in his 20s, because, like, the logical conclusion, I thought he would just, like, keep going with that line of reason, and it would just be like, he's a better basketball player than I am, so he's awesome. I just feel like it reminded me a lot of the shot blocker quote reminded me a lot of that segment, that clip from the first Bo Burnham stand-up special where the guy's just like, congrats, you're tall. Do you want awards to be given out for being tall? Maybe we should give a trophy to that tree over there for being so tall. That's what LeBron is doing online right now.
It's like, definitely, I don't feel like this is surprising to hear from LeBron.
I think it's rubbing off on him being surrounded by all these young pups.
Yeah, they must have made a lot of fun of him for this to come out. Like,
Kuzma and Lonzo are just roasting each other constantly online.
Yeah, he's not used to that.
He's just trying to fit in.
But yeah, I'm very much more used to the LeBron who's drinking a glass of wine shirtless and covering his eyes saying, I can't believe this is my life, or just with exclamation mark.
Making fun of his teammates on Instagram, or his ex-teammates. Like, he was roasting Channing Frye. He put on Instagram the other night. I don't know if you saw that.
That's definitely like Lonzo Kuzma behavior.
Right? He put him on blast. Imagine all over social media.
Iguodala had dropped this exact quote after the block in the 2017 finals. Or 16. I can't never remember years anymore, but you know which one I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
The finals.
Yeah.
I have a piece of news, I guess. The last one that I have noted down here. The Suns are on a 4-game win streak, which is pretty notable because that's half their wins on the season.
It's the Kelly Oubre effect.
And this, and it also comes after a city council meeting where I believe they're discussing, you know, potential deal on an upgrade to the arena out there. And a woman named Greta Rogers, bless her soul. I don't know how old she was, but she seemed pretty old. And she had a lot of things to say about the Suns owner, Robert Sarver. Roast his ass. Well, there's a lot of videos on Twitter, so we'll retweet it.
It's on World Star.
Yeah, there's just one quote that I have pulled from it that I love so much. She's pretty much just saying, like, he's done nothing for this team. He's not willing to pay for free agents. And, like, why should we pay for like an entertainment industry type of thing, and why are we talking about this? So she makes solid points, and I do agree, but when she's roasting him on how cheap he is and unwilling to pay to make the team better, there's this quote: he's so tight he squeaks when he walks. And ever since then, the team has been winning. And is it because of her? I like to think so.
What if the NBA is all a giant conspiracy and Sarver was like, okay, hey, everybody, the Suns need to start winning a little bit so we can get a new arena. So if you guys could just like let us win, that'd be great. For like till like the new year.
I'd buy that.
Yeah.
I do. You fellas know I'm trying to partake of as little basketball as possible. During the Suns-Celtics game, which was Oubre's first game with the Suns, there are a couple things that had me dying. One was like, so he scored like 13 points and at one point hit a free throw and then blew a kiss towards the Celtics fans. And now all the headlines are like, Oubre finally has his revenge on the Celtics, which I like, because at first I was like, come on, like all the Wizards have done is lose to the Celtics, like in the playoffs, everything. I don't know if this is revenge. And then I was like, well, at the same time, losing to the Suns is arguably more embarrassing, so maybe it is.
But yeah, I'd agree there.
The Suns broadcast kept referring to them as requiring Kelly Oubre, who is quote-unquote a shooter. And that's definitely a key term, because he does shoot a lot. None of it goes in, but he shoots everything. So he's not a maker, but like I was just checking his stats, because everyone who says that, I assume you haven't looked at his stats at all this year.
You couldn't see it, but when you said he was a shooter, I just started shaking my head.
furiously.
Look at those field goals attempted. That guy's a shooter.
I can only assume that the Suns broadcast team got the exclusive 50-40-90 club mixed up with the slightly less exclusive 40-30-80 club that Kelly Oubre is a part of. And that's where all this confusion is coming from.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, if you can just put up shots and you're a shooter, then I think I'm ready to join.
There was a game only a couple weeks ago where I don't think he had a single possession where he touched the ball that did not end in him taking a shot. It has gotten ridiculous. So I'm sure that habit will get tightened up nicely on the famously well-run Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think he and Booker are just going to start like getting in fights over shots. Should we get to see in some takes?
Yeah, I got a take that's been kind of gnawing at me a little bit. So it's not new, but it always bothers me when it crops up again each year. And it was this person said it, but tons of people are saying it. But this person phrased it as it's time to say it. Paul George is an MVP candidate.
Again?
And it like when I first read that, I just like looked at a watch that I wasn't even wearing. Like, oh, it must be that. Because every year, Paul George goes off on the offensive end. Like, all those shots he takes, his threes and his long twos, all start dropping. He's, like, not a fundamentally different player, but there's a couple of weeks where just everything goes in.
He's what playoff P wants to be.
Exactly. A couple of years ago, it happened was last year with the Pacers. It happened right at the end of the year, and the thing was like, oh, he's finally back. Like, this is – he's the best he's looked since Paul George got injured. But whenever it happens at the near the beginning of the year, everyone acts like, oh, no, he's suddenly, like, this new player. He's just this good now. And that's the stretch we're in. When it's over, he's still a very good player. He's playing awesome defense. But he's currently in the middle of his everything is going in stretch.
Yeah, which and, is, I mean, it's a nice 2 weeks out of the season.
I love it. It's great. Every player should get to have one of these, but he does it like clockwork every year. And all of a sudden he's an MVP candidate again. And come on, y'all. We got to start recognizing this trend at some point.
I mean, like, you know, good for him for probably getting this next week's Player of the Week award.
Yeah.
It's well deserved, but I don't think it's MVP time.
It's always a funny take to me when people are just insistent that someone should be in the conversation. They're right. Like, by no means do I think this guy should win, but he needs to be in the conversation. If he shouldn't win, what is being in the conversation?
Yeah,
it's disrespectful to not have him in the conversation, but he shouldn't win. There's no way he should win.
He has no chance, but let's talk about if he did have a chance.
When we're talking about who's the best player in the league, you better mention that my guy is currently the fifth best player in the league or I'm going to be mad.
And that's the highest I would ever rank him.
Yeah. People, stay safe out there. Friends don't let friends fall for Paul George as an MVP candidate talk until he's done it for at least 6 weeks in a row.
Do not drink and take.
Exactly.
Here's a hot take. If you're ready for one.
This is
from Dan Burt, maybe Dan Berte, I don't know, at @dbert_season. We'll probably retweet it. Another hot take of mine. Blake Griffin is the softest and most overrated player in the NBA and just flat out isn't good.
He got like halfway through his take and was like, I haven't gone in hard enough yet.
Yeah.
Well, DJ Wilson did lock him up the other night, so I don't know. I kind of agree.
Wow. Okay.
In terms of DJ Wilson scoring 5 points in terms of and one game. Limiting Blake Griffin to 1 of 6 shooting or something like that.
I mean, but no one can be expected to have much success when matched up with DJ Wilson. So.
That's true.
He's been our secret weapon for the last year plus.
Incredibly secret. It's very impressive.
Yep.
The new Anthony Davis.
A true career renaissance.
I did love whoever tweeted out that he had covered Blake on the game winning or game tying three attempt. Because I like went out and watched it and Blake's just taking the shot with like no one within 6 feet of him.
Yeah, it was two game tying three attempts. Because they got it back and got another shot at it. just very classic end of game Bucks behavior.
It's very much like he was technically assigned to cover him, but nobody covered him.
And then he missed it, so he gets credit for the coverage.
There you go. That's all you need. Is there anyone we want to note is the softest or most overrated player in the league? To free Blake Griffin of this mantle?
Yeah. First, I do think the Blake Griffin is the softest take is funny, because I very much disagree with that. Especially when he was on the Clippers, he was... Well, let's say not just when he was on the Clippers, but let's say when he was like the dunk man, Blake Griffin.
Yeah,
he was like the most fouled guy, and he was getting hard fouls like a lot, and he had to take that. Softest player though.
I'm trying to think like physically soft, like
Raymond Felton.
Raymond Felton was exactly who I was thinking of.
He's not soft. He fought hard enough to get suspended.
Just a soft boy, like cuddly, thick, soft boy.
There's a play. A few days ago, I believe, the Jazz versus the Rockets, where Gobert fouls Harden around half court and hits him kind of hard and goes over to apologize. He didn't mean to do that. And Harden wanted no part of that and just shoved him away. Don't touch me. That was a soft move.
Yeah, Harden is like pillowy soft, both in physique and action.
I agree. I think he's definitely one of the softer players all around.
The Karl Anthony Towns picture of him trying to post up Boogie Cousins.
Struggling. That sticks out in my mind. That's such an amazing picture.
If Kevin McHale had ever, when Kevin McHale smacked James Harden lightly on the arm and Harden acted like he'd been shot, imagine if he had hit him as hard as Michael Jordan smacked Malik Monk in the back of the head.
Oh, man.
James Harden would have flopped face first on the ground so hard he was
nose. He would have like gone in for an MRI.
He would have sued the league for not calling a foul on Jordan.
He would no matter what. He would have started like a new like concussion protocol discussion.
We have to start a dialogue.
Yeah,
it's always funny how just in terms of the Blake Griffin like being soft and overrated, I always try to point to that in like insanely gutty win over seven game series win over the Spurs in the playoffs. Like, I know that the way we view sports, we don't typically say like first round playoff wins are huge for legacy or anything like that. But that, in a just world, that series would have cleared up so many questions about that people have about those guys.
Oh, for sure. First rounds like are some of the most exciting sometimes.
And it's the Spurs. Like, that's a proven, like, Tim Duncan was still there. It's a proven dynasty.
Yeah.
They fluctuate in exactly how good they are, but anytime you beat them in the playoffs, it's impressive. And like Chris Paul did it on one leg. Blake Griffin was always injured by that time of year. I mean, that tells you pretty much all you need to know about these guys.
Yeah.
Heading back over to LA. This was an oddly worded take, but it's a pretty bad take no matter which way it was meant. I'm confident in how it was meant, but it was worded the opposite way. It was a Lakers fan who said confidently while gassing up Kyle Kuzma, who inspires some awful takes, that there aren't 15 players worth trading for Kyle Kuzma. And he worded in such a way, if I had the exact one, he made it sound like if you really broke down the wording, that he meant like Kyle Kuzma was in like the bottom 15 player assets in the league. But I'm pretty sure he meant he was in the top 15 like player assets in the league. Right. Either way, that is terrible. That is just awful.
Yeah, that's wrong either way.
It's more correct, I think, if you even put him at the bottom, but I did like a triple take and then was reading it for a really long time because I had no idea off of his wording. But the gist of it was, like, if you were going to trade Kyle Kuzma, there were fewer than 15 people that he would trade him for.
There's a lot of people I would trade him for.
There are just so many. And just in the spirit of even-handedness, because Lakers fans love comparing Kuzma to Tatum all the time, I believe... I didn't actually read it because I try not to, but I believe from something I saw today that Bill Simmons released his trade value column and had Tatum at ninth in the league.
That's so far for the course from that source.
No, thank you. Would be my response to both of those.
Has he seen Tatum play in the last month?
He watched only the playoffs.
Right.
Which isn't even that fair. Like, again, these are guys who are good players right now and will be better even in the future, but come on, he had Tatum over Victor Oladipo. You got to be kidding me.
This actually ties into one of the takes I have saved. NBA tweeted, "Join us in wishing at Swipe of the Fox, that's De'Aaron Fox, the Kings, happy 21st birthday." And someone replied, "It's crazy how good he is at that age. This kid's a future superstar. 2 years in, easily the best player from his draft. Please no one tag Boston fans." Would you say he is easily the best player from his draft?
I would not at all.
I wouldn't. He's among the best.
He's playing awesome.
I think easily among them, but not easily the best.
Yeah, I'd still like to wait some time to see how his shooting kind of evens out.
Yeah.
Over the year, probably in the next year.
He's looking good, though.
But yeah, I actually have a De'Aaron Fox take, too.
He's not the best, but he better damn well be in the conversation.
There's a reply to this take from someone who said, "Did Tatum and Mitchell died?"
Please don't share my tweets without crediting me. I have one from just a couple weeks ago that's De'Aaron Fox will be what John Wall should have been.
I like that.
I just want to point out on that one, I know John Wall's having some trouble. I now know that he has one of the worst contracts in the league, and he has had a lot of kind of effort and injury issues. He's a 5-time All-Star.
Yeah, he's a pretty great player.
let's pump the brakes on how much better than that De'Aaron Fox is going to be.
Well, yeah. Actually, let's congratulate De'Aaron Fox on a great future career.
Yeah. He's like, that's the, like, wording that is so much that, like, Wall busted, like, didn't even come close to his potential. And, like, yeah, he was a really highly rated prospect, so I get maybe you think you could do better, but if you get a guy who's a 5-time All-Star and made an All-NBA team, then, like, that's a pretty good first overall pick, even as much as people don't like to hear that. Like, historically, that's a win from that pick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's gone south in the past year and a half or so, but come on, y'all. Like, if De'Aaron Fox is a lot better than that, we're in for a treat.
I've got this is as of December 9th when this was posted, but there is one player up until December 9th in the NBA who had a 30-point and 15-assist game this season, and it was De'Aaron Fox. That may have changed in the last week and a half or so, but John Wall could never.
John Wall in the past week had a 40-point, 14-assist game, so mean De'Aaron would have gotten that 15th assist. That's what John Wall should have been.
That's right. That's exactly right. We've been talking some Lakers, and I've got a pretty great Lakers-themed retro take, if we're willing to dive into that.
Let's go swimming.
All right. So this take comes from the best of sources, Yahoo Answers, once again. I believe this was – it's actually kind of irrelevant when it was posted. I think it was 2010. But it's asking about all former Lakers players that were on the team previously. So I'll just dive right in. Question, which of these players is the better Laker and why? AC Green, Smush Parker, Kurt Rambis, or Chris Mim?
Is this who's the better player or who has the best name?
Which is the better Laker and why? Any thoughts? AC Green, Smush Parker, Kurt Rambis, Chris Mim.
I feel like I know more of AC Green. So right. But so that's why I'm more inclined to say that. Yeah.
That is,
I feel like they're hard to compare.
A really tough one.
Why is that, Will? Are you torn?
They're all so good that I'm having trouble. I like
Smush Parker is in that duo of
most points scored in a game. Yeah. Of course we all love Smush around here.
Friend of the podcast, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll have him on in the next couple weeks, hopefully. So I want to pick him just so Lakers fans could just stop saying using the Kobe had no help for those few years argument. But I feel like, let me echo Jared and go with AC Green.
All right. There's a bonus question in with this question, which makes it infinitely better to me. Bonus question, which is in all caps. Did you ever step on a balloon barefoot to pop it? Did you like the feeling of it being soft?
No.
I personally have. I don't remember thinking about how soft it was.
I
would do more of a stomp. To do it slowly seems a little sadistic to me. Kind of some serial killer stuff if you slowly squash a balloon.
I'd never think of popping anything as a soft experience.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's more aggressive.
Could you reply to that and ask them how underinflated the balloon was? And if that's why it was soft?
Yeah, what kind of balloon also? Like.
Yeah, the question asker does not specify.
Is this like one of those like foil balloons from Party City? Or is it just like one you kind of blow up yourself and they are kind of soft?
Or perhaps a water balloon?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's definitely soft.
That would be one I would step on barefoot, probably.
Maybe a balloon animal. Then we're dealing with a real psychopath.
One of the question answerers says, AC Green in a landslide, and it would always slide from underneath my foot.
I'm very glad that they answered both of these.
And that managed to tie them together. Very impressive.
Oh, man.
Well, that's our retro take for the day.
I really like the bonus in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's almost a thinker level take.
Almost, yeah. So, it's holiday season. For me personally, it's Christmas time. But if you celebrate something else, that's super rad. And before we get into, I got some gifts for everyone. Before we get into that, I do have a question for you guys. Which NBA player do you think believes that there is truly a war on Christmas? And if you say Spencer Hawes, you're disqualified.
First thought. Oh, man. Current NBA player?
Yeah. Maybe past. I'll count it too.
I will very confidently. This seems like cheating too, so I'll keep thinking. But since he's on my old team, the Washington Wizards, I will fairly confidently say Sam Decker.
That's also a disqualification.
Anyone from Wisconsin is just disqualified now.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, all right.
I mean, Joe definitely thinks there's a war on Christmas.
Yeah.
There's a war on my birthday, damn it. My birthday is overshadowed by this Jesus guy.
I'm a little suspicious. I'm a little suspicious of Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
He's a hardcore gamer boy.
I think though that he's the type that is I think he's an atheist. I think he's gonna be bad in the other ways. I think he's like an atheist Redditor.
It's interesting. I'm trying to. Yeah, my first thought was definitely Spencer Hawes. Maybe Andrew Bogut.
I could see Bogut. Yeah.
Another thought.
Not allowed to pick a Plumlee or a Zeller. Or a Kaminsky.
Just the whole family. Each family. These are like...
Well, all we're going to have to edit some time guys out of this work.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm trying to think. I feel like there should be one who's just like... Not Kyrie, but who's just crazy enough to think that anyways.
Yeah.
They'd see one clip and be like, you know what? Maybe.
It's kind of the same sort of question as like, who's the most unwoke player in the NBA?
Yeah. Also the same.
Before, who's the most woke?
Also the same question that we've kind of discussed before of like, who's more likely to be a gamer gator.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got a little bigger cast because we know that like a lot of the NBA is religious.
Yeah, they really are.
So you're like, what are the odds that like Steph Curry might think it? I'm not saying he does, but like, we know he's a big religious guy.
He's super religious, but he doesn't seem like the type that is like exclusive in that way.
Or just like the easily convinced crowd. I love him.
You know what?
But, I mean,
you know what? I got one.
DeAndre Jordan.
I got one.
Let's hear it.
Mark Jackson.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
That's my official pick. Someone else can have Gordon Hayward.
Since. I don't. I just want to pick coaches now that you said it, but Jim Boylan absolutely does.
Oh, for sure.
I'm trying to picture. I'm just imagining Bill Walton talking about a war on Christmas now.
You think? I think he'd talk about it as a joke too. Like
he would quickly segue it into the real problem is war itself, brother.
Yeah.
I could definitely see any of the like really bad announcers, like Reggie Miller, could argue that there's a war on Christmas, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about more announcers. I'm stumped. I definitely have some editing to do now.
Yeah.
You brought this on yourself.
You were bored. You were looking for something to do tonight, so you threw that one out. That's funny. I'll keep thinking and let you know if anything comes up. Yeah, that's toughy.
Yeah, I'm going Mark Jackson and Gordon Hayward.
Oh, no, I don't want to say it. He's a son. I don't want to call out possible sons.
Now call out the son.
Well, we do know that like Jonathan Isaac preaches at his church. I know that's not enough to be certain, but yeah,
what kind of church is this?
I mean, this was the one, I don't remember what the exact church is, but it's the one where he like invited everyone on the Magic to go and no one went. And he was like, what the fuck, guys? Which, I mean, I felt pretty bad for. It seems kind of like a weak move.
That is kind of, it's kind of sad. Okay, one more. Dennis Rodman.
He would go to North Korea to discuss the war on Christmas.
My Christmas Dennis defense Rodman team would, is made up
Dennis
of...
Dennis Rodman would join the war on Christmas, yeah.
That's my Christmas defense team is... Dennis Rodman, Gordon Hayward, Mark Jackson.
I don't think I would want Mark Jackson to be coaching anything that I needed defense for.
Well, he's playing. And then, yeah, all the Plumleys.
Just rotating Plumleys and Zellers in and out.
Yeah, that's all we need. Well, let's move on. So, for Christmas, I decided we're going to do something special for our Thinkers segment. You know, usually it's just a quick thinker to cap off the end of the episode. But I was feeling inspired by last week's great thinker, which was a Blake Griffin tweet. So I decided to spend the day searching for just hidden gems, mostly hidden gems, from other NBA players. Kind of the way that KD has a lot of really great old tweets that are, you know, people retweet all the time. But
gifts that keep on giving.
Yeah, so I decided to look for lesser known, lesser seen, not as popular. So I have a bunch of these. I'll quick fire through them unless we want to stop and talk about any of them. But if you're ready, let's get started.
I'm ready.
This is Kevin Durant. I start with them KD ones. This is from 2009. I seen a girl walk into club with a duffel bag for a purse. What the fuck she got in there? 2012, KD. Just had a bad dream. Wish I could go sleep in my mommy bed, but I forgot that I'm 23.
Okay, I'm going to have to retweet that one.
Well, I'll make a list. We could share like all of these.
Absolutely. I want that one personal, man. I'm 23. It's so relatable.
I want it framed. 2009. She's still fly. She need a shape up, but other than that, she's still fly. Bath and Body Works sell cologne and men body wash. So how is it gay?
Good question, man.
That is a 2009 KD one.
It's a real thinker.
Another 2009 KD. Come on now. What the fuck is she wearing? She looked like a pack of hot tamale Mike and Ike joints. I have no idea what that's Kevin, in reference to.
Kevin, those are two different candies. Make up your mind.
This is a little more popular, but I decided to include it. I can post a pic of a Hot Pocket and people on Instagram going to find a way to debate about basketball in my comments, lol. And of course, there, you know, I didn't include these because they're obvious, but there are so many good other KD ones that we can share. There's like, was the Erykah Badu one?
Oh, yeah.
The Scarlett Johansson bathwater one.
Oh, man.
The game of horse with the girl he wanted to date.
Yeah. Girl, you like a bacon and egg sandwich. You look good.
Headed to the biggest room in the world. Room for improvement.
Oh, man. All right, we'll move on. Let's move on to Hassan Whiteside. This is from 2012. This only has 5 likes. I actually hate this tweet, but I decided to include it. Peter and this chicken has the most epic fights. Family Guy, the best show out, hands down. 2011, Girl, you thicker than a bowl of peanut butter in the freezer, lol.
The bowl of peanut butter?
In the freezer.
Yours is peanut butter?
Here's a 2010 Bradley Beal. Damn, straight had to cut the grass. Too hot for all that. Lol, not about to chill for a while and then hit the gym.
I'll have our listeners know that I am the only person to have liked that tweet in history.
Yeah, I shared this with Will already earlier today. Let's move on to Lance Stevenson. This has one retweet. It was 2011. Sexy love, do the things you do. Keep me strong. Keep me running back to you.
Heartfelt.
Very good. Very sweet. This is a reply to account whose tweet has since been deleted, but I decided to include this because this is 2011 from Lance Stevenson. This is at Titties and Beer, and he says, sexy.
I mean, you just wonder what was the deleted tweet.
We'll move on to our last man of the day. We've discussed him earlier. Scary Terry, Rozier, Rozier, whatever you want to say. Here's our first one. This concludes, or this goes back to our Will's tweet to start the episode. That dude Osama bin Laden dead. SMH finally got him. So the 2011 tweet from Terry.
SMH finally got him.
Terry is so disappointed. He saw all that. Untapped hooping potential. Is that man could have been second team all NBA. SMA. I would like to add on even more thinking for our listeners. And my question for you to ponder is, what is a more pivotal cultural moment? Terry Rozier alerting the Twitter world that Osama bin Laden had been killed with a big SMH, or John Cena telling the Monday Night Raw crowd that Osama bin Laden had been compromised to a permanent end the day that it happened.
I think, like, culturally, I think it has to go to WWE because yeah. So many people are like, that's how they found out, was like, it yeah, really John Cena told me.
He gave it was such a presidential address, and I like, it was so early on that he said it. Like, it was before a lot of people knew. And it's like, we had to get this information to John Cena. But man, if we could have had more people following Terry Rozier, maybe we would have had an entire different view of the war on terrorism.
I think so.
Instead of viewing them as enemies, we could have viewed them as potential All-NBA candidates.
Slip a note about this into John Cena's jorts. He'll tell the world.
The Wizards are trading a conditional second rounder to Al Qaeda.
They need that power forward.
They haven't had an athletic big man in years.
All right, let's go back to 2011. She didn't hit me with a, you're cute, but she said, I like you, hashtag damn.
I want to alert you guys. Such is the power of these great tweets and takes that Jared has found for us that I've retweeted just a couple on my personal account, and I'm already getting DMs of, how are you finding these? And I hate you. Oh, so
give me credit, please.
These are great, great gifts. Gifts from Jared.
This one has zero likes, zero retweets. This is from 2011. Terry. Vanessa Simmons looks so sexy on my background. LOL. zero likes, zero retweet again. 2010. I'm going in my room. .. Getting tired of looking at this fucking Christmas tree.
Yes.
This is one of my favorite ones right here. This has a little bit more. This has 40 likes. This is from 2020. Fuck school, I ain't going. .. Yeah, I am. Who am I kidding?
He got me.
Tank.
And
called his bluff.
I present you with our final thinker. Our final Christmas gift. 2010. This is on Christmas Eve of 2010 at 9:24 p.m. Mary, all caps, Christmas, motherfuckers. .. Hashtag happy tweet.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Those are my gifts.
If that doesn't put you in the mood, that is the reason for the season right there.
Those are my gifts to you. I did a lot of searching for those. Maybe in the future we'll just like make most of the thinkers just player tweets I can find.
Absolutely. They're so much better than regular person tweets.
They really are. Especially KD's, because they kind of are regular person tweets, but not at the same time. Well, do we have any last words today?
Follow us on Twitter at Untitled Hot Take. Send us your hot takes, either ones of your own or ones you find from scouring the internet.
Yep.
I got three last words for Jared and Joe. Happy holidays, fellas.
Hell yeah, happy holidays.
Thank you. Right back at you, my friends.
We will likely not have an upload next week, I don't think. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
But we will soon be taking a very small break. Only about a week or two, so it's not a big deal.
And then
deal,
we'll be back and better than ever.
Yep.
Doing improved.
Doing improved.
Maybe we'll even have a title.
We might have some music. I believe that's a thing that we've been discussing with some music people.
We'll have music. We'll have sound effects, perhaps.
Yep.
We'll have
more guests.
More guests. Got guests on the docket.
We just might have Kyrie. You'll have to tune in to find out.
Hey, if we're getting a title, we're having Kyrie. That was the promise.
Well, happy holidays, whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate. Have a good one. Send us your takes if you see any over the holidays. We'll try to tweet more live game responses or something. But till next time.